Okay, that'll work. I had about four different scripts and still managed to misplace my script, so. As we turn to Scripture, let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, open our minds, open our hearts, open our wills to your Spirit, that we may enjoy the fruits of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the text we're looking at today is Paul's letters to the Christians in Galatia, and we're reading in the fifth chapter. I am going to add one verse to it, verse 1, and then I'll jump down to 13 to 23. So, listen for God to speak to you through these words. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruits of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Freedom. That's what we're told at the very beginning of this chapter, and then again at the beginning of the text we're reading, that we have freedom in Christ. So I'm just wondering what you think that freedom is. What does freedom look like to you or feel like for you? Choices. I was reminded this morning as I was watching on TV that freedom always means choices. Gives us choices. And what I was seeing on TV was the news that places in Lakeview had been vandalized by people putting racist and anti-Semitic symbols and words on garages and houses, painting it and stuff. And I thought, choices. We have choices. Freedom gives us the choice to do things that suit us and, you know, seem to speak to what's important to us, but not always good things, right? And Paul warns us with that whole list, which he says, and these are a few of the things, of the ways that sometimes we make choices, not for good, but perhaps for ourselves. Freedom brings choices, but also responsibility, right? And accountability. At least I hope so. In the church it does. So we have freedom to make choices. Will we be following the way of the flesh? Which really makes me uncomfortable, because then it creates this whole body shame thing, and anything that we do with our body is somehow not acceptable or is you know, in opposition to the Spirit. But that is not what Paul is talking about. When Paul talks about the flesh, he's talking about our selfish tendencies. He's talking about our worldliness and our thinking about what will, you know, suit us and be good for us and bring us pleasure. Paul's very clear that, you know, these are not just sins of the flesh or the body, but these are sins of the Spirit, and these are sins within the community. These are things that are destructive to us. Okay, and that's what makes them in opposition to God's plan, which is for us to live fully and abundantly, right? So again, these aren't so much about the body as they are about our single-mindedness about ourselves sometimes. We had an interesting conversation yesterday during our workshop about how do we attend to our own needs in the church and still be open to the changes to what everybody else needs in the church. And I was trying to convince my friend in this conversation, and I think we got somewhere with this, but I was trying to convince my friend in this conversation that if I'm attending to you and you are attending to me, then we're all going to be taken care of. Right? What it suggests is that I don't trust my friend to be caring for me in the same way that I'm caring for you, and therefore I need to get my own. But if we are the community of God's people, if we are, you know, motivated by the Spirit of God, then we can trust that we will have these things that we need. God has promised it. What I want you to pay attention to about the list of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, is that these are the very character and nature of God. Love and joy and peace and kindness and a generosity. Isn't this the way we know our God? And so when we participate in these fruits, when we experience these fruits, we are in the midst of God's doing. The difficulty with this whole thing about the fruits of the Spirit is we imagine that there must be some way we have to generate it by ourselves. We're the ones that have to create these fruits and give life to these fruits in our community. We're getting ahead of ourselves there. The reality is those fruits are available to us when we are connected to God through the Spirit. Those fruits are gifts to us that we're meant to share. It's always good to share your apples, your oranges, your bananas, your grapes, right? Right away, when you're sharing those things, you're engaged in an act of kindness and generosity, right? But it's not just fruit we're supposed to share, right? It's our whole lives. Remember last week we were talking about that transformation that takes place in our minds and becomes an offering of our bodies. So if these fruits that the Spirit is offering us are transforming our minds, then we're using our bodies to make sure that we're living them out in the community. So when I ask you where you see this happening in the community and you're a little slow to respond, I trust it's just because you're feeling sleepy this morning. Have you experienced these fruits in this community? Right. So by our participation through Rotary as people of faith, that kindness and generosity gets spread throughout the world. But it begins because we know something of kindness and generosity, right? It begins, we can love somebody because we know something of love, right? God has done this for us. God has created this life that we can be a part of. Now, does that mean there is no suffering or work? No. And in fact, our leader of our workshop yesterday was talking about her own experience in the midst of grief after her husband died. But even before he died, how she experienced joy and life and love, even in the midst of that hard and difficult time. Because we don't have to depend upon generating it ourselves. This is something that God offers us. We just have to open ourselves up to the moment and to the experience, right? We have to be a little bit more attentive to see where it's happening, and better yet, to let other people know where it's happening. So this morning, as I ask you to tell our kids where you see these fruits in our community, it's because they need to some help sometimes seeing how we experience this love and this generosity and this kindness. Now, the one that I have a little trouble with is the self-control, which is so interesting because I'm really a control freak, but I have some trouble kind of reining myself in sometimes. You all experienced that yesterday at the workshop when I couldn't keep my tongue and let you all talk. I had to jump in and have something to say. Self-control. So I'm thinking to myself, is this really a fruit of the Spirit, or is this more some painful commandment? Right? But then I'm reminded that God also shows self-control, right? God could have been done with this world a long time ago. God could have given up on us and destroyed everything. God and God's awesome power could have done this, right? We have stories in the Bible about it. But God has controlled perhaps the anger, perhaps the disappointment, perhaps even, you know, the frustration. But oh, God has controlled God's power so that we might continue on and experience that in our own lives. There is a way for us to control ourselves, right? And again, if we lean on God and see God as the source of these gifts, then maybe my self-control can be a little better, right? So, back to this freedom thing. Freedom gives us choices. Choices to either be in relationship with God and experience these fruits of the Spirit, or to do our own thing, which usually lands us where? In trouble, right? In trouble. Death and sin. You know, not all of our choices are bad. I don't want to say that. Some of you make good choices, but I want to say those good choices tend to be lived out of an experience in a relationship with God. God helps us to make those good choices. I'm thinking about people who don't have a faith community, and I wonder how do they make choices? You know? How can it be anything but for yourself if you haven't experienced a community of love and generosity and kindness and self-control, right? Now, I'm not saying you can't learn that in other places, but the good news is that God gives us that gift already in this community and helps us then practice it with one another so that when we go out in the world, it's easier to be a part of that. And better yet, God is working on the hearts and minds of people out in the world too to bring them to some sort of understanding and experience of these things. But it does mean we have to choose between our selfish ways and the ways of God. And we've had a lot of conversations lately in a lot of different settings about why people don't come to church anymore. It's the culture. The culture's changing. It's the church. The church is no longer relevant. It's the timing. It's a bad time of the day. You know, people got things to do. You know, people have to work. All true. This is all true. But ultimately, it's about our choice for God or not for God. Not for church. I'm not saying about coming to church or don't come to church. It's about our choice for God or not for God. Are we wanting God in our life so that we might experience these things and have the power and Spirit in our life to do these things? Then we have to attend to God. And at least for us Presbyterians, coming to worship is part of that. Only part, though, because you have to attend to God elsewhere, right? But again, it's a choice. The good news is you all made a good choice today. We're so pleased you're here, and for whatever reason, whatever prompted that choice for you to come here today, we're hoping that you are absorbing the love and the joy and the kindness and the generosity and even some of that self-control stuff while you're here, so that when you go out into the world and there are all these other things that press in on you to make other choices, you've had some experience and some practice at it. So I invite you, before you leave today, to get as much of it as you can. Share the peace with one another. Enjoy the conversation around the cookies and the coffees. Talk about the generosity of our Elmhurst Walk-In Network Assistance Network. You know, enjoy the music that's happening here. Give yourself some kudos for attending to that relationship with God. But know that it's in that relationship that we will find these fruits, be nourished by these fruits, and have these fruits to share with one another. Amen? All right.